Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to a Tuesday on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel back in, and you. Welcome in to join us at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Give us a follow on Twitter. Can tweet at us if you so choose, at Schmidt underscore radio. I'm Chris Schmidt. That, of course, Elijah Herbel at Herbel Essences. And the email is there, Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic coming up. Thoughts on Wisconsin, thoughts on Maryland from Mitch. A sad story towards the Penn State quarterback. And I don't know that it is severe with Nebraska players this season, but social media and death threats, a story we'll get to. Plenty of NFL to wrap on between the Chiefs and Chargers last night in Mexico. And Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Rick was on the sidelines. What did he see out of Nebraska on Saturday? And Jacob Padilla will join us at 525. Some Husker football thoughts and some Nebraska basketball insight. So that's the table, and it is set, and we're getting closer to Turkey Day. Some programming notes. Friday, we are at Longwell's ahead of Nebraska basketball. And then next week, we'll get you qualified here starting Wednesday for the final longest drive competition. We are at the Graduate, the biggest drinking night of the year. I'm not asking you to overindulge. I'm just merely passing along statistics. And you get a chance to eat turkey and see family Thursday. We want to see you on Wednesday to come on out ahead of Nebraska-Iowa Wednesday night. Down at the Graduate Road Show Wednesday with me and Jay Moore. Elijah, you are not rocking Michael Jackson gloves to push the buttons, although where you're located is kind of a little petri dish, so if you come in a hazmat suit or a Heisenberg suit, I would get it. Dude, what did you do to your middle finger?
Yeah, I got three Band-Aids on it right now, if you can see that.
And you just flipped me off. You've been waiting about 2 months to do that. You get a free one today.
Well, okay.
Because you hurt your middle finger.
Well, what's happened is I decided to take my day off yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to be productive with it. I'm going to clean up all these leaves out of my yard. And efficiency tells
me. So you're
me,
the roommate that mows.
Yes, for sure. That's what I do. I'll let everyone else do the dishes and whatever else. I'll mow. I like doing that.
You do the manly stuff.
I'll put my earbuds in to mow the lawn. So yesterday I'm like, okay, it's 3 o'clock. I'm done with class. And I'm thinking, I got the day off from Hail Varsity, which means I'm going to go mow my lawn. Because that's the more efficient way than raking it all up. Just go over it with your bagged lawnmower, put it in the compost
pile.
You're
preaching to the choir.
It's easy way
years
to do it.
I died mowing the neighbor's yard where it was more vacuuming.
Yeah, no, but the thing is it's my first pass around the yard, and there's a good layer of leaves, and I hit a stick, and I didn't realize it's the first stick. And I'm also efficient in that I wrap a little piece of copper around my little, you know, the safety on the handle so that it keeps the engine running.
Sure. Yeah.
I just wrap a piece of copper around that so it stays running the entire time. I don't have to deal with restarting it. And as I lift up the mower to try to get the stick out, I couldn't get a good grip on the stick, and I'm trying to readjust my grip, and I feel just a thwap as the...
Lifted your mower up while it was still running.
Yeah, in hindsight, it sounds real dumb.
I'm just saying.
I was asking for it, and I feel a thwap. Luckily, I hadn't sharpened my mower blades in years. They're essentially just like metal bars spinning around really fast, and it got me pretty good.
Did you lose the tip?
I didn't, no. Luckily, right. It sliced a pretty good slash across like the surface of my finger.
You get a tetanus?
I did not. I think I got one a couple years ago.
All right.
So it's mostly just really bruised and swollen because it got hit by a big metal bar and it ripped a little skin off. But I still have the finger. So
you are playing hurt, and I love it.
it's my board punching finger too.
Yeah, we are going to qualify, folks. This is awesome. Zach Brown is coming back to Pinnacle Bank Arena. Adios, invite. Let's crank this up because it's never a bad day with Zach Brown. And Zach Brown is coming to PBA February. I could just listen to Zach all day, to be honest with you. 29th of February, not long after my birthday, sweet wife, if you're listening. What we're doing is we're going to crank Zach Brown up at different times the rest of the week. And when you hear that, not now, we're going to take caller 4 and caller 5 each day to qualify. We'll do that this hour. We'll do that next hour. We'll draw for a pair of tickets today through Friday, close to 6 o'clock. So you, lucky you, will win a pair of Zach Brown tickets for the February 29th show today at Pinnacle Bank Arena. You'll win them all week here with Hail Varsity at ESPN Lincoln.
Let me tell you what, February looks like a good month for PBA now.
Yeah?
Got Post Malone announced today, Zach Brown Band. There was one more.
You got Kiss.
Was it Breaking Benjamin? Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, and Korn. We had Korn tickets away 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's going to be a great month for PBA.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's switch gears, talk some Nebraska football. Eric Chenander's a big-time Zach Brown guy, so I hope he enjoys the show, and he'll need a break after recruiting. But let's start off here with one hand washing the other. That was the topic of discussion today for Nebraska football. And he is so right, and you've seen it as a Nebraska football fan. We've talked about it on and off different years here on this show because it's not matched up always, right? The last year you had a good offense and a good defense and really good special teams for Nebraska football. All of them hitting on really high-level cylinders was probably 2010. I mean, if you want to go back to it, you had Adrian Martinez in that offense and Roy and Rex and Quincy and Levante and Crick and Fonzie and Prince. You had a really good football team that year, and you had a great defense, a really good offense. You could put up a ton of points quickly. And then it's kind of been hit or miss. You've had to outscore people a lot of the time in the Big Ten. This year, the offense is playing well. The defense can't stop anybody. If the defense is shutting people down, the offense goes missing. Special teams came to play against Purdue, but it's been a lot to be desired, quite honestly, this season. With the kicking game, it's cost you points and cost you games all season long, aside from Purdue. So all three phases aren't washing each other's hands, and Coach Chenander touched on that today.
Yeah, obviously didn't tackle very good in the secondary. You know, there was times when we played really, really good, like you wanted to. Times where you didn't play really, really good. Kind of, same script, which has to change. You know, we get a turnover and things go good on offense. We get a kick return for a touchdown. Then the offense scores, and we have a bad drive on defense. Then we get a three and out. And it's kind of the same script. It's got to be complementary football, and we got to all be working together.
He's right, and it's not been the instance. It will have to be better and all of a sudden be the instance and the exception versus the rule from what you've seen when Nebraska heads to crab cake and football country. Maryland may be down, maybe out, maybe they've quit, maybe they haven't. I don't know, man, but with what they've got at quarterback and running back and explosive athletes and dudes that can fly around the football defensively, they're not great defensively, but they're athletic as all get out, and they're fast. So sign me up for the overs. I'm making that declaration now. I don't have much faith in the Nebraska defense. Although they played better, they'll have to tackle in space, and you're going to have to jerk with two quarterbacks. One, and I'm sorry, but the running dual-threat quarterback kills everybody, and Nebraska's part of that group of defenses in the world of college football that hasn't solved stopping a running quarterback. And if they go with Pegram, I don't know that he's a great thrower, but that guy's a pain in the backside with the zone read game, with both backs, assignment football, staying home, doing your job. And we can go down the list of things that have ailed the defense. And, you know, both sides, offense, defense, and then you factor in special teams. I thought this was a pretty good answer here. There's three different parts to this here. And Coach Shenander was asked how he feels about the defense. You know, if they're going the right direction, and Saturday was better. Wasn't great, but it was better. The tackling disappeared second quarter on. Your linebackers played better, but still not great. Your secondary was okay, but they were a big problem when it came to tackling. And your front three, and then whoever's coming off the edge, I mean, goodness, man, it was one tackle for a loss, a couple of quarterback hurries, and no sacks. Wisconsin's a great offensive line. I get it. But, I mean, you have too many just missing parts to this recipe this far into the season. You're just not a very good defense. You're still busting it. You're trying to be better. You're working hard to be better. But you've got a couple games left to try and put it all together so you get bowl eligible. Here is Coach Shenander here answering the question, you know, what signs are you seeing that you're going the right direction?
There's a lot of things to point to that things are moving in the right direction. There's a lot of things on the outside that look like there's, you know, it's not. You know, you can't give up on the one drive after I think our offense scored a touchdown early. You know, you can't give up missed tackles on a screen on third down and let them get the chains and then miss a tackle on a slant. Post safety misses a tackle on the slant and it goes for a touchdown. You can't do that stuff.
No, you can't. Those were two big-time key plays. 55-yarder to the house to tie it. They were already tied, forgive me, to go back ahead. And then, yeah, you had chances on third down to get off the field. More from Shenander on that right direction.
You make those tackles. The thing that you have to keep emphasizing to these guys is we are beating ourselves right now. And it's not them. It's not me. It's we. We are beating ourselves. It's missing that tackle, missing those tackles, missing a few key assignments, not getting off the ball or not getting off the field on third down changes the game dramatically.
More from Shenander here, last part here, this three-part about the right direction. And, you know, tackling's key, third down defense is key. And Nebraska's going to keep trucking here, keep plugging, trying to get better for Saturday.
If you can get those things corrected, guys, you may have only given up 10 points, 13 points on defense. I know there's other points scored in the game in other situations like we already talked about, but you could have decreased every football game we've played. You could have decreased the amount of points scored by at least 10, probably more. Indiana, we couldn't get off the field on third down. If the offense busts on third down, you punt it and you move on. Everybody's happy. If we bust on third down, they get another set of downs. They get to keep moving the sticks. It's magnified a lot on defense. You have to get it done.
That you do, and that kind of followed up an earlier question by Mitch Sherman about how you go about judging your defense. And we'll get into that with Mitch. We'll get into that here this segment. How do you judge the Nebraska defense? What constitutes success for you? I've got lots of answers to it, but here's Shenander's.
I mean, obviously, points is king right now, right? I mean, it's who has the most points on the board. And we didn't have more on the board, for sure. The other ones, I mean, it's hard to take into account. You know, points given up is a interesting stat. You know, obviously, you want them to be really low. But if it happens on special teams or if it's an offensive, turnover for a touchdown, it goes against us. So when that happens, we have to be able to put the fire out and not allow them to score any on defense. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be complementary football. If a bad thing happens on the other side, we have to have good things happen to us and back everybody up. But obviously, you know, you want to allow as little points as possible. If we can allow very little points, we're going to win a lot of football games.
Point total's been an issue, and it's been well documented that Nebraska's defense is allowing 30 a game, 31 points a game. That's what's happened the last several outings. You put a 30 spot down, and that's your bar tab for the Nebraska defense. In fairness, I looked at Saturday that they, if it got past the second level, it was a tough day in tackling. First down runs, I mean, it was constant 4 to 6 yards. And that's just Wisconsin doing that to a lot of people not named Ohio State. I thought the defense was better. I was impressed defensively that they forced three field goals. Mm-hmm. Three key moments they forced field goals. That's a win. But overall, man, they're not, and they haven't all season long gotten after the quarterback. So it all goes into the big picture of how many points are you allowing. When it comes to big plays, too, I mean, that's where Nebraska's allowed their share of big plays this season. But for most of it, what has been an issue for me when I think of the 2019 Nebraska defense, I think of guys just being out of position or not doing their job and having a busted assignment. And then that busted assignment's piled on with very inconsistent tackling. That's what I think of with the 2019 defense. Is it's not that guys aren't giving good effort or trying to be their best. It's guys out of position and then just absolutely whiffing when it comes to tackling.
A lot of plays on Saturday that should have been stopped at 5 and went 15. A lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what you see with this defense right now. It'll get better. Needs to. And you got some young pups that maybe can make that better in future seasons. But right now, it is what it is with really awful tackling from time to time. Mitch Sherman's next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. We are efforting Mitch Sherman. Maybe he's mowing his yard. 60-degree day. Vic in Denver was not amused with your lawn mowing story, Elijah.
And why is that?
He just thinks you should maybe shut the mower off before you...
It's easy to say in hindsight, yeah.
He just thinks we should smack you and take your man card. I will say that Elijah was out mowing in November. It's pretty manly to me. So we'll get Mitch Sherman here on the horn in just a second. We'll talk to Rick Pizzo. He was on the sideline in the past weekend. And we'll hear from Jacob Padilla, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Get some of your emails here in a bit. Chris at HaleVarsity.com and more tweets to touch on at Schmidt_radio, at Herbal Essences on Twitter. So we're talking complimentary football yet again. And can that complimentary football travel to College Park? Not far from a place where there is all partisanship. We say hi to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how much sleep did you get last night?
First of all, don't make this game political, Chris.
I am not. I'm just saying you've got – well, doesn't it feel like from a complimentary football standpoint, you've got the offense and defense are one political party and the special teams is independent?
Yeah, right. They're each – I agree with that analogy. They're each their own political party when they should be working together. Boy, it isn't even... I only heard... That's a genius analogy. I only heard the very, very end of it. But as the Huskers descend on the nation's capital, that is an appropriate way to view this team. Yeah, Max Olson and I were just talking about that. I believe that was where the conversation occurred yesterday on our podcast about how it isn't about assigning blame with this team. It isn't about whether the defense did everything it needed to do to win or the offense did. You know, it's been week to week this year where you could assign blame. Don't assign blame. You know, these they need to work together. I kind of asked Eric Chenander about that today.
Yeah.
And you know, where he stood on the number of points that the defense allowed on Saturday. Really, it was 30. And the 7 points on the kickoff return had nothing to do with his group. And then you could even say it was closer to 23 because the short field that the defense was presented after the tip pass interception by Wisconsin. So, you know, is that okay? Is 23 okay? It didn't look like a game where the defense gave up just 23 points, but, you know, and Scott Frost invoked the number 30 or 31 after the game. I don't know. I mean, the offense only scored 21. It wasn't, to me, that game, and very few of the games this year, there have been maybe one or two, were about the defense was to blame or the offense is to blame. It's been a team this year where there's been plenty of blame to go around, and it's not worth assigning it to one area, as seems to be the case. And on my sleep, I did all right last night. Today is my wife's birthday, so I woke up early to kind of surprise her and give her, you know, give her a gift. She's up before me anyway, but I helped her with the kids this morning.
That's the gift that keeps on giving. Be careful of that, because you'll have to do it more often. But did you do breakfast in bed, or what did you do? Just a necklace or gift card, or?
No, she got an Apple Watch.
Ooh.
That was the gift this birthday. So I got up early and presented that to her in the early morning. Or early morning hours, yeah.
Mitch,
it doesn't sound like it was all that grand of a gesture, but I can promise you, if you were there, it went fine.
That's good stuff, man. Mitch Sherman with us from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. No, I enjoyed your question with Shenander about judging performance. Do you base it solely on points? We played that audio just 5 to 7 minutes ago, and.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the Nebraska defense on Saturday, and they did enough to win. And if you're holding Wisconsin to 23 points, taking away a touchdown and a short field on the volleyball interception, that's great. I mean, that gives you a chance to be in the game. The defense held the Wisconsin offense to 3 field goals, pretty key 3 field goals. And the offense got to the Wisconsin 35 5 times, and you're stuck with 21 points. So if I'm going to blame somebody Saturday, as bad as Nebraska's tackling was, and as many times as they had them hemmed up on third down, but didn't get a stop, I'm gonna say that was on the offense more so than the defense Saturday. While the defense was not great, I'm gonna underline that part.
Yeah, you can look at it that way, but I'm more in the camp of, like, neither one of them played well enough to
win. Yeah, that's true.
And neither one of those sides of the ball played bad enough that the loss is on them solely. There were good things on both sides. And, you know, I think Scott Frost looked at it as an offensive coach from an offensive perspective after the game, and, you know, saw that his team averaged 10 yards per play in the second half, broke, 23 plays of over 10 yards in the entire game, outgained Wisconsin, you know, consistently drove into scoring position. And then, you know, you can choose to look at the things with the defense, like the missed tackles. I don't think it's a full picture to just say they allowed 23 points. You know, you give them credit somewhat for giving up an easy touchdown, a quick touchdown after the turnover. You know, a hallmark of a good defense is being able to stand up and make a stop after the offense puts you in a bad spot. Nebraska did not do that after that first half turnover, which came at just a key time because Wisconsin had just gone ahead for the first time in that game right before that the interception occurred. So it's equal. It wasn't a game that the offense won or lost. It wasn't a game that the defense won or lost. And I think Nebraska would be better served not to attempt to assign blame on either side.
Mitch Sherman's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's look at Maryland, and between their two quarterbacks, between their running game, I know their defense has been getting whacked by the Big Ten East. I still think this is going to be probably your first team to 30 wins it on Saturday. I expect a lot of points. Back to blame. It's blame Tuesday. I don't have a lot of faith with Maryland's athletes. I don't have a lot of faith in Nebraska doing beyond well tackling in space. I expect a lot of big plays by the Maryland offense, even though they've been hit or miss a lot. Nebraska can get it done. I just don't have a great feeling about it.
Yeah, Maryland's had a week off to recover from that beatdown against Ohio State. I don't put a lot into that because the Buckeyes have been playing that way against every opponent in the Big Ten. We'll see if that continues here on Saturday morning against Penn State. But look, if Maryland comes out and looks more like that Maryland team at the beginning of the year, they're not going to hang 70 on Nebraska. I mean, never say never, but I don't think that'll happen. I really don't think that's going to happen this week. But I think we could see some signs of that Maryland offense because, as you said, the playmakers are there. And when those guys get in a rhythm and a team allows them to get in a rhythm by letting third downs get picked up. I mean, if Maryland comes out and converts its first three third downs of the game, first two or three third downs of the game, whether they're third and one or third and 10, then I think Nebraska's in for a long day on defense. Because if you let Maryland get confident and pick up some steam, then they're going to remember the way that offense played at the beginning of the year, and I think they'll start to resemble that team and could put up a lot of points. And that's not the game that Nebraska wants to get into. As much as Nebraska likes to push the tempo and likes to score, and as much as this coaching staff has experience in games that are high scoring, if it was at home, maybe. But and it's not going to be a hostile environment. There might be more Nebraska fans at this game than Maryland fans. But that hasn't happened on the road but one time for Nebraska in 9 trips away from Lincoln. Huskers have got to clamp down on defense and just not let Maryland breathe. And that's not going to be an easy task.
Mitch, about 2 minutes here, bud. Leadership, I know it's been gone over repeatedly. It was talked about again Monday at the presser. And what did you make of Frost's comments about some things working against that locker room leadership-wise?
Yeah, kind of cryptic with those words. You know, I don't think you're going to get him at this point, or probably not at any point, to go. And I'm not talking about naming names, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's going to go a lot more in detail into what. Maybe he will. I hope he does in the off season and goes more into detail about what exactly was working against Nebraska. You'll know who the guys are because they're not going to be around in the spring. If there's more attrition, you know, more roster fall off after this season than there was after last season, I guess I'd say right now that I'm not going to be surprised. So those are hard things, I think, for Nebraska fans and probably for Nebraska players to hear. I would hope and expect that the guys in the locker room, you know, totally understand where Scott Frost is coming from, and they all know, you know, whether they're on the good side or the bad side right now. But there does seem to be a line drawn through the roster at this point, with most of the players on one side and then a select few. And Martinez has alluded to it, too. He did again on Monday, a select few guys who still aren't giving Nebraska what they want from a leadership or, you know, buy-in. Just a team chemistry perspective.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, about 20 seconds. What's coming up from you?
I'll have an interesting look at some different perspective on what Adrian Martinez's season has been like this year from some outside perspective, some national voices, broadcasters, people who've been in the booth for Nebraska games. Sometimes I think we look at this thing all a little too closely here on the local level. So, you know, I want to stretch our legs with some national people and get their thoughts. And it's been interesting to talk to some of those voices this week and collect their thoughts. So that'll be out Friday. And I'm trying to track down Xavier Betts before he plays for a Class A state championship next week at Memorial Stadium and get an update on the progress academically and on the playing field for the Husker wide receiver commit.
Good stuff. Mitch, thanks for the time, bud.
All right, thanks, Chris. Take care.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Rick Pizzo's 20 minutes away. Jacob Padilla, some NFL thoughts. The Chiefs, a monster win in Mexico. That was big. I didn't see the interception, but Mitch Holtis will tell you about it coming up. Reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or tick it. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Okay, so we will play the Zac Brown Band Bed between now and 5, and we'll take callers 4 and 5 to qualify for Zac Brown tickets. We'll do it again in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll draw right before 6 for a pair of tickets to Zac Brown the 29th of February. So keep that rolling. The rest of the week, we'll have a pair of Zac Brown tickets to give away. That is awesome. I saw him, I think, in 2014 at PBA. Incredible show, wonderful band, fantastic performers. Okay. Penn State, and you heard Adrian Martinez. We played a little bit of it yesterday. When it comes to social media, Adrian is off social media. When it comes to Twitter, has pretty much punted the Twitter. Well, you have Sean Clifford of Penn State following suit. And there's been a lot of noise, man. A lot of noise towards Adrian this year about his performance, about his decision-making. The guy got booed, or somebody got booed Saturday. When he took that big sack, that wasn't cool. I know that Nebraska fans wanted him to do something other than take a sack there. It led to a missed field goal. But you're not going to be perfect. Totally get it. He has busted his tail, and he's an outstanding player for Nebraska. It's gotten a bit more toxic for Penn State's quarterback, Sean Clifford. Media session today with Penn State. He has deleted a social media account after receiving death threats and vulgar messages regarding the Nittany Lions' first loss of the season to Minnesota this past Saturday. Quoting Clifford, "I usually delete it closer to games, but I completely deleted it after the Minnesota game. It's kind of sad to say, but you know the fans sometimes get, it gets a little crazy. I was kind of, I guess, sick and tired of getting death threats and some pretty explicit and pretty tough to read messages." Clifford threw 3 picks. He had Penn State in position to win. The red zone was the issue. He was part of that issue. But Clifford's been incredible for him. They got a shot against, they don't have no shot, but they play Ohio State on Saturday in the Shoe. And Clifford, I mean, you're replacing McSorley, right? And he's been dynamite. I mean, Penn State's going to be 8-2 here real quick, but they're a 10-11 win football team that's going to go to a major bowl game again. You've lost your coordinator, now year 2 without Moorhead. But Clifford's come in and done well. Penn State's a hell of a good football team. And, we ran into some Penn State fans that were also Eagles fans out in Minnesota. Had a couple beers with them, and good dudes. Not the type of dudes that would jump on Twitter or some sort of social media platform and death threat a guy. That's most of the fans. But you've got your crazy vocal minority that go all in and get in. And I hope they tell me this. Is it easy to lob a phone call to Twitter and say, hey, give me the address and identity of this scumbag that's making a death threat? Me and the O-lineman can show up and knock on their door. I know you're not supposed to waste time and energy on people like that, but it'd be really cool to put together the Twitter police and go face-to-face with some of these clowns. And, you're absolutely entitled to your opinion as a fan. If you're frustrated and want to yell, have at it, man. That's your right as a fan. But there are lines in the sand that you don't leap over, ever. And death threats to your quarterback is one of them. It'd be real interesting to get an honest take from somebody that didn't live up to the 4-star hype from Nebraska and somebody that had a good career, but just say you didn't win a championship, all right, or take Nebraska to the level of 10-2. It'd be real interesting to, in an honest moment, say, what do you think of the fan base here? And I think most Nebraska fans do a great job of representing that Red N. I also think there's a lot of guys who leave the program that are exhausted by the attention.
I think Twitter's made it worse. Social media. People can be faceless, anonymous, and say whatever you want.
It's brutal.
But
it's also, like, necessary. It is.
I mean, I'd say Twitter is one of the big reasons that Bo Pelini got fired after consecutive. I mean, he's having good years. He couldn't get the big wins. But then the fans, it gives them a place to organize and give their opinions as a mass. It kind of leads to, you know, just mob mentality.
Listen, if Twitter is playing a part in a firing and hiring, then you've got the wrong sheriff.
Well.
And you did.
We did, yeah. Because fans were just, they were up in arms on social media. And
they were sick of getting embarrassed in big games.
Mm-hmm. And it just spread throughout the fan base, I think, because of social media.
And now it'll get better, but you're getting beat by Purdue and Illinois. And that was happening before Frost and Company showed up. All right. So, yeah, 9-4 with a few black eyes looks real good right now. Versus quite a few close losses and some botched management. And I'm not talking about Frost staff. They'll figure it out and get it handled. The trading Bo for Riley was absolutely suicide. Period.
Yeah.
And I said that back in 2014. You don't get rid of that guy, especially for this new guy, because he's easier to work with. But round up the Twitter police, man.
I draw this line in the sand of making it personal for 20 and 21-year-old kids who are amateur athletes.
No, yeah, you got to draw the line.
You can talk about their performance on Twitter, but don't make it personal.
At them.
No.
And the same thing goes to the lovely world of recruiting.
Yes.
Where you have fans that are all over a kid if he flips. I don't even want to get into what poor Wandale probably went through in his home state of Kentucky. Once he decommitted from Kentucky and came to Nebraska? No thanks.
Well, fans were accusing him when he went to Kentucky of taking bribes from Kentucky. That was all over social media. It's idiotic.
It's just a joke. But I hope they find these folks and hand out some swift-ass kickings. We'll wind down this first hour. Rick Pizzo's on the way. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Speaking of Twitter and critiquing, we got a tweet in from Dan. And I know, Elijah, you're playing hurt with the nearly sawed-off middle finger. But Dan's letting the world know on Twitter, at Notre Dumbass, that who's ever in charge of the bump music has that baby cranked to 11. Apparently you're drowning us out. Either that or the configuration's all sorts of jacked. You probably spilled your cucumber vodka on it.
Oh, I'd never bring that here. I can't speak for you, but.
No cucumber, please. Yeah. You know what's sweet? During a commercial break, once Junior turned 13, and he's working on seeing the age of 13 for 2 weeks and not much longer. All I've been getting is inundated with the fact that he's a snotty-nosed little puke teenager now, between emails from school and what he's doing. He's been a real pain in the ass.
So 13, does that make him 8th grade?
No, he's 7th.
7th grade, okay.
Mm-hmm. So my point here is he's...
Yeah, that's when I started getting calls home, too, actually.
Yeah? Why?
Usually talking in class. That was my big one.
See, but you're social.
Yeah, that's the thing. I still like talking. I'm doing it for a job now. So.
See, and it worked out well for you.
Really well for me.
So the point of this is yeah. I read his grades on air last night while we were waiting for our 525 guest. And he's getting a D in art.
Well, it's art.
That's going to be his take on it.
But on the other side, it's also seventh grade, and you probably shouldn't have a D in anything.
I know. The kid can build a rocket ship, whoever his father is. And, you know, I mean, he's brilliant. I'm kidding. Let's get folks qualified right now. Let's fire up a little Zach Brown Band. They are coming to PBA on the 29th of February. So what we're going to do, you hear Zach Brown right now, and we'll take caller 4 and 5 right now, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. We'll take caller 4 and caller 5 right now. We'll draw closer to 6 tonight for a pair of tickets today. Caller 4 and 5, see Zach Brown at Pinnacle Bank Arena. We'll qualify you the next couple hours and then get it handled. We'll draw a winner today, tomorrow, all the way through Friday. So caller 4 and 5 at 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Let's start this thing from the beginning to get the ambiance of Zach Brown. And I haven't DJed for many, many years. But a little Zach Brown never hurt nobody. Good show. Awesome time. PBA is where it's going to be the 29th. We want to send you. It will take caller 4 and 5 right now at 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Elijah's going to get your name in, and we'll draw here in 1 hour. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Jacob Padilla. I don't know if Jacob Padilla is a Zach Brown guy, but he could be. That's all right. So load it up next hour. We'll get into some NFL. Phillip Rivers. 4 picks. Bad goal line play. Some more NFL to get into and plenty of Nebraska football. So Rick Pizzo's on the way. Call now. Your chance to qualify for Zach Brown at PBA.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back in at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo on Twitter is where you find him. Rick, what's up? How are you?
Life is good, my friend. Another successful trip, at least for me, to Lincoln. Not quite as successful for Nebraska, though I did think the Huskers played much better, kept that game a lot closer than I thought they would before it kicked off.
You know, the buzz going in was you're walking to the gallows, right? I mean, Wisconsin's Wisconsin. Nebraska's struggled mightily, and, you know, Nebraska had opportunities in that game to seize momentum and didn't. It's kind of been the story of 2019 for Nebraska. But Rick, you were on the sideline, man. You were around both squads. What were some of your takeaways as far as being so up close and personal to it?
I'll start on the positive side. I thought Nebraska's offensive line was terrific. They opened up a ton of holes. Dedrick Mills had himself a career day against a really good Wisconsin front seven. And Adrian Martinez had a ton of time to throw. On most of his sacks, those were coverage sacks. There were times when it was 5, 6, 7 seconds he was back there. I even heard some of the fans booing, yelling, throw the football. Those were coverage sacks. Wisconsin's DBs did a good job against Nebraska's receivers. I thought it was interesting that they sold out really more against the pass and allowed Nebraska to run the football more successfully than it had. On the negative side, that defensive line just can't hold up against some of the bigger, stronger O-lines. And I understand that when you're out a couple of guys, a couple of really important guys in Daniels and Davis, it's going to be tougher than it's been all year long. And you have Jonathan Taylor running downhill at you. That's where you need linebackers to really fill in to do a great job. And right now, I think there's just not enough depth at that position, at those two position groups, really, the front four and the next three, to be able to match up against some of the toughest offensive lines in the league.
Completely agree with you. And linebackers have been putting the hard hat on all season long. They haven't been in the spots they've needed to be in all the time. I thought the linebacker play was better.
Better.
And then you've got some guys playing dinged, and the tackling really killed Nebraska once it got to the third level, once it got to the secondary. I wasn't putting any money down on Lamar Jackson having a big game. But he was, I mean, I thought he really showed well. He played physical. Some of the safeties had issues against Wisconsin, and that's not new. A lot of safeties have issues against Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor. Offensively, though, Rick, let's go back to that. I thought Coach Frost's game plan was pretty impressive with obviously getting Adrian in the run game. But this is what is good looking forward here. You have a healthier Adrian. You have a Dedrick Mills who has been waiting to kind of pounce all season long, and he went off. You have that 1-2 run punch now between quarterback and running back, and better late than never, I guess, is my answer.
Yeah, without question, it will help in the next couple of games. The trouble is that Wisconsin didn't do a very good job against Mills, but I thought they did a pretty good job against Martinez. Sure, he broke contain, he put up some big numbers, but they were also soft on Martinez. What I mean by that is I heard some conversations on the Wisconsin sideline about the linebackers falling off, meaning even the guys were spying Martinez, they were spying from 3 or 4 yards deeper because Wisconsin believed that it could get the points that it needed to win this game. What they didn't want to do was give up huge, big chunk plays. Now, credit to Nebraska, because they still got some of those huge chunk plays. But at the end of the day, I think Wisconsin knew what it could do offensively, and their defense was predicated a little against it. I asked Paul Christ after the game if there were some legitimate concerns defensively, giving up nearly 500 yards. He said, sure, we have to do a better job tackling. We have to do a better job at the point of attack. But honestly, Chris, I didn't hear as much concern in his voice as you would expect giving up that kind of yardage. And that's because I think it was a little bit part and parcel of what they believed the game flow would be. And at the end of the game, they were right.
They were. And when they spied Martinez, they got the big play to flip momentum right after the kickoff. It was the interception because you had Orr playing volleyball back there.
Yeah, and Jack Sanborn did a great job to grab it. You know, the interesting thing about that Wisconsin linebacking core is that it's all about Zach Bond and Chris Orr getting the attention, and they're two terrific linebackers. I think Sanborn is, he's kind of like the third tenor, the guy that you always forget. You know, you got Pavarotti and you got Domingo, and everybody forgets who's the last guy. Carreras, I believe, is his name. That's what Jack Sanborn is, and he just does a really nice job. He had a terrific game. Told me a great story beforehand about how he was really pushing for Wisconsin to get to the Big Ten championship game and get to the Rose Bowl because his dad played for Oregon in the 80s, passed away at a very young age in 2005. And on the same day he passed away 12 years later, Jack committed to play for Wisconsin, said it's always been a dream to play against Wisconsin or against Oregon in the Rose Bowl. So from that standpoint, certainly hope it happens for the young man who's playing great football right now.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, a last thought about Saturday, and what did you notice about the Nebraska staff and Coach Frost? What's the vibe you're getting? You know how long and draining this season's been. You've covered the Big Ten. You've been in Lincoln a couple of different times. Did you notice anything different? Has it worn on these guys?
No, I don't think it's worn on them. I think it has been disappointing to them as far as leadership is concerned. I think when Scott came in last year, the one thing that he hoped he could do quickly was change the culture inside the locker room. Not what Nebraska is to outside people, but inside the locker room, could he make sure that he has the guys that he needs to push the young guys to do all the things you have to do to be great? And it's my belief that he thought that could happen in a year. And I don't blame him for that. You want that to happen before you start year number two. I think it's taken 2 years. You've heard him say it multiple times this year, right, that they're waiting for the leadership to be where it needs to be everywhere. And I think that probably happens next year, because now you have two full recruiting cycles, and if you need to get rid of some guys that are not the right guys for your program, I think you have the ability to do it next year. You didn't have the ability to do it this year because you're so thin at so many positions. I don't know who those guys are. I think those guys probably exist on every team. I think I glean that probably more exist on that particular team than the coaching staff would like, and that they'll have an opportunity to change that before 2020 starts.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, a thought on Nebraska-Maryland. Am I wrong to think score fest?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Maryland can score some points. They have really struggled since a great start. Josh Jackson's been in and out with a little bit of injury, and Terrell Pigram is a guy who thought he was going to be the QB. Then he's not the QB. Then he is the QB. And defensively, Maryland's really struggled against the best. And obviously, they have some terrific running backs who haven't been on the field as much as they'd like this year. They're supposed to be back this weekend. I mean, McFarland's as fast as it gets. They have other guys back there who can hurt you too. So I would be surprised if this game was not in the 30s, 40s for both teams.
You know, and what's College Park like? What is the state of Maryland right now? You mentioned the start. They beat Syracuse. It looked good. And then Penn State dropped the hammer on them. And they've not really been the same since. Granted, they've had a pretty brutal East schedule. But they've just not seemed to be able to get off the mat. And I know the quarterback situation's been interesting. You've had a coaching change. I know Durkin's been gone. I think he's left a pretty full cover there for Loxley.
Yeah, it's not that they don't have players. It's just that we had completely false expectations after they dropped nearly 70 on Syracuse. Syracuse was top 25 last year. Syracuse is a bad football team. And we didn't know that at the beginning of the year. And we thought to ourselves, wow, Maryland is explosive. This is what Michael Oxley does. It's offense. I think they scored 132 points in their first two games. That's not sustainable. And we learned that it was a bit of fool's gold. So you mentioned Maryland's East Division schedule. It's awful. I mean, when you have to play those teams every year, and a lot of times you have to play them in consecutive weeks, you're going to get demolished. Ohio State wanted payback after nearly losing last year to Maryland, and they certainly got it. So I don't think that they're necessarily behind where educated football people would thought they would be. I think this is similar to Scott a little bit in the sense that Michael returns to a place that he knows very well, but it's going to take a bit of time to change the culture, because he was dealing with even more of a culture shock than Scott was when he arrived in Lincoln, because of course of the death of the former Maryland football player and how it was handled, and DJ Durkin's dismissal, reinstatement, dismissal. I mean, everything went off the rails. So he's got a lot to work with, but I think he has a lot to work on. And I think, again, much like in Lincoln, I think you're looking at a minimum 5-year process to get it where he wants it to be.
Rick, busy weekend in the Big Ten. I want to start off with one more game from Saturday, and that's Iowa and Minnesota. Hawkeyes again finding a way to take down a top 10.
Yeah, listen, they jumped out to a big lead. They had a nice offensive game plan. They did a really nice job scripting those first couple of series. Minnesota with a valiant attempt. Some mistakes from Minnesota we don't see very often. Too many penalties. Rashad Bateman drops a ball. Tyler Johnson drops a well-thrown ball in a critical fourth down that could have changed everything. The kicking game was horrendous. But listen, they were still in the game and had a chance to win at the very end at a really tough place to play against a team that's going to be top 15 in the CFP in all likelihood this week. So let's not bury the Gophers quite yet. They take care of business against Northwestern this weekend, and they may be without Tanner Morgan, but I still think they'll get the job done, and hopefully they have Morgan healthy. And then if they beat Wisconsin to go to the Big Ten championship game, I still think the CFP is a potential in front of them. I really do. If you finish the year with wins over Wisconsin, who at that point could potentially be top 10, top 12 CFP, and then you beat an unbeaten Ohio State team, I think it'd be awfully tough to keep the Gophers with wins over Penn State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State in the second half of the season out of the playoff.
Let's talk Penn State. They head to Ohio State. This is going to be close. The line's minus 18.
Yeah, you know, the last three games, a three-point Penn State win, one-point Ohio State win, one-point Ohio State win. I think the Buckeyes have just separated themselves a little bit from everybody else this year. I really do. I mean, if you want to play common opponents, Penn State at home last week, 7 points over Indiana. You remember what Ohio State did to Indiana earlier in the year? I believe it was 51-10, if I'm not mistaken. So, commonalities, I know it's not necessarily the transitive power that actually applies to the football field, but I'm just not sure that Penn State defensively has what it takes to stop Ohio State because they're so balanced. Chase Young comes back. He's refreshed. It's in Columbus. Listen, I would be shocked if this is not a 14-point or more Ohio State win.
How about Iowa, Illinois?
Yeah, sneaky game, I think, for Iowa. Much like Minnesota last week, how do you handle prosperity? The difference is that Iowa is at home. The difference is that Illinois is not an explosive offensive team like Minnesota was. Illinois does it defensively, and Iowa doesn't really hurt themselves. If Nate Stanley doesn't throw any picks here, I think Iowa snaps Illinois' streak. But if the Hawkeyes put the football on the ground, if Stanley throws it to a couple of Illini and gives that offense a chance to bust just enough explosive plays, we could have a game. That's the game, by the way, that I'm working sidelines on for the BTN crew.
That'll be outstanding and should be a pretty good ball game. Indiana, great effort against Penn State. Not enough on the road. They host Michigan. Michigan really went to town against the rival Sparty here. Another sneaky good ball game here. Lions minus 8.5 for Michigan on the road.
Yeah, I think the Wolverines have outscored their opponents by more than 100 in the last 14 quarters. That's starting with the second half of the Penn State game. They've more than doubled their opponent's total yardage. They've only turned it over once in those 3.5 games. They're playing by far their best football of the year. And listen, I love what Tom Allen has done at Indiana. 7-3 through 10 games is absolutely terrific. But look at who they've beaten in the Big Ten. Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern, and Nebraska. Those four teams have a combined Big Ten record of 3-25. So I'm not trying to take anything away from what Indiana has done, but I also think you need to couch a little bit of their success because this would be a massive upset, maybe even bigger than the line suggests this weekend if they were to beat Michigan.
Rick, want to get your thoughts here on the college football playoff, another unveiling tonight. And what do you think the committee does with Alabama with Tua being done?
Yeah, I think they leave them where they are for now because it doesn't hurt them in any way, shape, or form because Alabama, unless, you know, the most unlikely occurrence ever takes place with LSU losing the next two games against teams that they have no business losing to, is not going to play in the SEC championship game. So you can leave them where they are. If one or two teams jump them in the next couple of weeks, great. And then they'll get jumped, I think, by enough teams to keep them out of the playoff, even if chaos theory reigns supreme and crazy stuff happens over the next couple of weeks, because they're not going to have the chance to get to the SEC title game. And when they play Auburn at the end of the year, I mean, Auburn could be at that point maybe 7-4. I mean, Auburn's not a great football team either, so you don't really have a feather in your cap and you don't have your best player. I just don't see any path to the playoff for Alabama.
Oklahoma, they do anything for you coming back like they did?
Yeah, I mean, they were ranked higher than Baylor heading into that game, so I think you can make the argument that even though that conference's lone unbeaten lost, it's probably better for the Big 12. I think then what Oklahoma has to do now to prove to the committee that they deserve to get in ahead of maybe a one-loss Pac-12 champ, if it comes down to choosing between Oklahoma and either Oregon or Utah, is that when they get Baylor again in the Big 12 championship game, they need to make it a dirt roll. I mean, they need to stomp the Bears by 20-30, and then the committee maybe takes notice. But boy, that was a bad loss for Oklahoma earlier in the year. Remember, Oregon's only loss is to Auburn in the very beginning of the year. I think if Oregon were to go on and win the Pac-12 with just one loss and you add that top 10 over Utah, if it's between an Oregon Pac-12 champ and an Oklahoma Big 12 champ, I think the Ducks probably get the nod.
That's Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, little college football playoff. Find him on Twitter at BTN. Rick Pizzo, catch him for sure on BTN with Iowa and Illinois. Rick, thanks for making time, man. Great to get caught up with you.
Chris, as always, my pleasure, buddy. Enjoy the week.
Good to hear from Rick Pizzo, Hail Varsity Radio, and Jacob Bedilla. We'll talk to him about what he thought the play of the game was on Saturday. A lot of candidates. what Jacob pick? Thoughts on Husker Hoops? The Mayor and company get rolling Friday. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
More chances for you, Zach Brown tickets to give away here before 6. We'll play some Zach Brown, get you qualified, and give a pair away today through Friday. We're at the Rail Yard on Friday night down in right across from PBA at Longwells, Nebraska basketball back at it. Plenty to get to with basketball, football, and volleyball. We say hi to Jacob Padilla from HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _. Jacob, what's up, man? How are you?
Not much. I'm doing pretty well. Shimini, how about you?
I'm good. And, you know, I enjoy all of your writing with Hail Varsity and really enjoy the play of the game. You had a ton to pick from, man. And you focused on the interception in the second quarter as kind of the turning point, the play of the game for Nebraska. You had a lot of choices. Why'd you pick that one?
Yeah, unfortunately I did, and not many of them positive, obviously, in a loss like that. But I just kind of felt like the point of the game where that happened, where you're coming off them taking the lead right there, and you've got a chance to kind of answer back, and you don't, and they go down and score again. It just seemed like that was kind of a spot where it turned from, hey, Nebraska's got a real shot, like, well, here we go again. And I kind of put part of the explanation for it was just like, this is just another one of those self-inflicted mistakes. Granted, it was a good play by them, but it was also one that I think Nebraska should have been able to prevent from happening. So it's just another example, and that's why I kind of picked it as symbolizing just all of the self-inflicted mistakes that lead to these losses. It seems like basically almost all the season, it doesn't matter who Nebraska plays. Every game outside of the couple of blowouts, Minnesota and Ohio State, they've shown they've got enough talent to compete with who they're playing against. But then again, they turn around and show that they can't make the play. They can't get out of their own way to actually get it done. I mean, you've got the Colorado, Purdue, Indiana, now Wisconsin, all these teams are different levels of teams, but every game it seems like it's the same where Nebraska's right there and just can't quite get out of its own way and ends up losing the game that it had a decent shot of winning, or if not better than that. So that's kind of why I settled on that one. It seemed like that one is one where Martinez kind of had it, could have done more with that play. And then also it's just a little bit of bad luck. It seems like everything's going against Nebraska this season as well.
You know, and Nebraska's had moments to seize the game or figure out a way to fend off adversity. And you had the fumble against Indiana, the flea flicker against Colorado, and then now the tipped pass that was intercepted by Sanborn that really flipped it. And that's when old Mo put on the old Badger sweater, because it went from bad to worse. You go three and out after that interception offensively, and you're down 13 going into halftime when you had just had the lead, and in the span of 2 minutes,
yep,
you're down 2 scores. And that was a backbreaker. Overall, Adrian played really well there. It wasn't perfect, and that's okay. I'll take him playing that well versus being hung up on being perfect from a decision-making standpoint. You ran really well against a good defense that, you know, we just had Pizzo on, and Pizzo was kind of locked into some of the Wisconsin game plan, and they were willing to give up a few yards to prevent the big play. Now, Nebraska had a lot of big plays. The offense looked more back to normal. As you move forward here, we've been waiting on complementary football, all phases playing and helping one another. It hasn't happened yet. Does it happen this season, or is it too far gone for it to magically click?
Yeah, at this point, game 11 we're going into now, it's hard to believe that it's suddenly just going to change. It seems like at this point in the season, a team is what it is. They can maybe make a few small improvements here, there, changes how they do a couple things. But for the most part, I think teams are what they are. And what we see is a Nebraska team that hasn't been able to, like you said, play that complementary football. And they've shown basically they can do everything well in different spurts. They just haven't ever been able to do enough of it well at the same time to get a win. Obviously, even special teams, for all the issues there, they've had a couple games this year where special teams really made some game-changing plays, two or three of them. Mm-hmm. And you've had a game like this on offense where the offense is outstanding. And even that within the offense, they move the ball at will, but then you can – I think Bill Conley put out that he had the expected point, just kind of the raw expected point total for Nebraska, just based on the situation of that game, was like 44 and change.
Jeez.
And they ended up with less than half of the points that they should have based on what the situation was. So even when the offense gets into a rhythm like that, they can't put together a complete offensive game where you're able to finish those off with points. So it just kind of... At this point, I don't know that you can expect that to change, but the question is, for this week in particular, can you put enough of those pieces together to beat a Maryland team that has struggled to beat anybody this year? It's going to have to be a different story if you want to compete with Iowa, but you've got to be able to do just enough here to not shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, it doesn't seem like Nebraska has feet at this point, just how many shots they've taken, but... you just have to do just enough to get out of your own way and let your superior talent win out.
No more toes, Jacob. I know what you're saying, man. With practice today, post practice, what'd you take away? I know we spent a lot of time in hour one on Coach Chenander, but it seems like the team's pretty locked in. Granted, it's just Tuesday, but I think they're feeling all right. You can get some confidence from last Saturday.
Yeah, and I spent most of my time talking with Tony Tuioti. Been a good 10 minutes over there with him. Got some good stuff from this weekend and stuff down the line coming out from that. But, yeah, we obviously saw a lot of new faces on the defensive line this week, and he was really happy with the way that Ty Robinson played. He said out of all the new guys that kind of broke in there, he was the guy that played the best by far. That's obviously – his most highly touted recruit on that defensive line coming in this year. They kind of gave him the first 8-10 weeks to just kind of get up to speed, add some weight, kind of learn the playbook and all that. And now these last few games here, they're given a chance to get out there and show what he's learned and see if he can impact the team. And Tony Tuioti, he's really excited about his future, and he liked what he saw in that game as well. And saw a few other guys out there, Jakeem Green, got in there and I think about 5-6 snaps, and he's a guy that, and he admitted just kind of the jump from junior college to Division I has been tough on him, especially with how late he got here. And I think this is just a complete learning year for him. Tuioti mentioned how such a big and strong guy that he sometimes doesn't think he understands just how big and strong he is, and he hasn't really been comfortable enough to cut it loose yet, and that's where they're trying to get him. And I think that'll be big for next season. Just get him some confidence out there. Get him knowing, hey, you cut it loose on this particular play, and we're going to live with the results. You don't have to worry about overthinking things. Just go out and use your natural ability within what we're asking you to do. So those are a couple of the big guys that kind of broke in there and had some good stuff to say about them this week.
You know, they did, specifically Robinson, held his own pretty well at the point of attack, didn't get turned or pushed back too often. I mean, Wisconsin had their moments against him as well, but a lot of upside for Nebraska as you move forward with Robinson and eventually Green, not only to stop the run someday in the Big Ten, but also collapse that pocket on the interior and eventually have a lineup they can get after the quarterback. Jacob, I want to switch gears to basketball. And I know you and Derek Peterson did a tremendous job on the Hail Varsity Basketball Preview Edition that's going to be on newsstands very shortly and in mailboxes sooner. Give folks kind of a look-see. Don't spill the beans, my friend, but give us a taste of what is to look forward to year one here with Hoiberg. I know Nebraska had a good bounce back against the Jacks.
Yeah, and a lot of good stuff in that issue. And obviously ran through the conferences for both the men and the women, but kind of I honed in on, I think, kind of the part of this team that will be the most important part and that will kind of take this team however far it's going to go is those two junior college guards and how difficult it is transitioning from junior college to high major basketball. And obviously these guys haven't even played against a high major team yet, but we've seen their fair share of struggles. And Cam Mack kind of pulled out of it in this last game, but Gervais Green's a guy that's really struggled all season long. He just cannot throw it in the ocean right now for whatever reason. So I just kind of dived into the numbers of junior college guards and looked at the trend and that these guys are going to have to try to break in order to be as good as Nebraska needs them to be in year one. And we're seeing a little bit of that struggle kind of play out early in the season, like I mentioned, but I think Mack in particular, you can see that it's there. It's just going to be how quickly can he kind of find that consistency of everything he does well. Because each game he's done something different, I think, really well. And now it's just all about putting it together. And that's kind of the difference between being a flash player and being a consistently good player and being an all-conference type of guy. Like, talk to Mack, he's a guy that is not short on confidence whatsoever. And there's some big, some really talented point guards, some veteran point guards in the Big Ten, and he believes he belongs with those guys. And he'll have a chance to show it this year. And if he does, then I think we're going to be looking at this team a lot different than we have these first few games. But it's going to be a struggle. We'll see if Shamil Stevenson joining the lineup, whenever that happens, will kind of change some things and give them a chance to try a couple different things than they have so far. But right now it's going to come down to hitting shots. And I think Gervais Green's a guy in particular, more so than anybody else, that really needs to get it going, because he's getting some pretty good volume here and just hasn't gotten the shots to fall.
Jacob, only about 30 seconds, so I want to get a quick thought about Shamil Stevenson. Is it looking like that waiver is going to get cleared by the NCAA?
Yeah, no news yet. It just seems like every time we check in, that's right away, because kind of they're in a holding pattern. I think they're going to get it. He's got a strong case just based on everything he's been through in college basketball so far. Just every time he goes to a place, he loses his coach. So that seems like it would be good grounds to get a waiver claim. It's just now a matter of the NCAA kind of getting through their backlog of cases and getting their way to wherever Stevenson is in that priority list.
Jacob Medilla with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Get the basketball preview issue coming out. Subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Both ways to do it. Jacob, awesome to chat. Great stuff. We'll get caught up soon. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, there he is. Give Jacob a follow on Twitter at @JacobPadilla_. We ran out of time to even talk volleyball. He's all over Husker volleyball. Some NFL thoughts here. Have you made a ruling on Philip Rivers? Is it time for Phil to pack the minivan? We'll get into it next.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Good stuff from Jacob Padilla. And did you stay up for Monday Night Football, the Chargers and the Chiefs? Here is Mitch Holtis, the game winner at the goal line from, as he calls him, Dirty Dan.
The line of scrimmage for Rivers is at the 14-yard line. Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side. It's intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen picks it off! One of the biggest interceptions for Dirty Dan's career! And the Chiefs shut the gate on Philip Rivers! 4 interceptions by Rivers! And the Chiefs get a gigantic pick by Dirty Dan Sorensen on the wheel route to the outside to Austin Eckler.
I got to hear that Dirty Dan isolated. I mean, that was too good. Mitch Holtis, as good as it gets. We get him about once a year. But Holtis is fantastic.
Yeah, well, just
we'll get to it in a little bit.
The line of scrimmage for Rivers is at the 14-yard line. Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side. It's intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen pick!
Dirty Dan with the pick. You had no Tariq Hill. Screwed me in fantasy. And Kansas City had to throw underneath. No deep threat. Very pedestrian for Mahomes. Still good. He led the team in rushing. But Phillip Rivers, the story. Quite a few knee-jerk reactions to Phillip. Here's Phillip Rivers, the minivan man, on last night. Four interceptions.
Yeah, well, just in general, not scoring in red zone. We got in there once. And twice, I guess. But we just, you know, not scoring in red zone and turning it over, man. That gets you beat, and that's what's gotten us beat all year.
He's been bad. And L.A.'s... Their window closed a long time ago. The Chargers did. I mean, you had some defense. You had some LaDainian. You've had Phillip there since 2004. You had Drew Brees for a cup of coffee before he went free agency. And it is, God, I mean, you want to think about, and this sounds brutal, from a wasted career. No, Phillip's been great. Really talented. But everyone's screaming to bench Phillip Rivers. And I don't know at 4-7 if that's the message you send to the rest of that offense, the rest of that offensive line and the defense and the team in general. If, all right, the team's going to be better off without Phillip Rivers, disagree. And I know he's not mobile. I know he throws it weird. But I think from a leadership standpoint, he's got to own up and just be better because he has – the lead, he's getting close to the league lead in interceptions. I know he is by far the second to worst quarterback in that division right now. The way he's playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a big car guy in Oakland, but I mean, are they still Oakland? I don't know. You get the point.
They're still Oakland.
They're a squad right now that has enough pieces to challenge. And while everyone was ice skating on that or that natural grass last night, that was winnable. I mean, San Diego outplayed Kansas City thoroughly,
yeah,
and had no answer to find a way to win that. And you hold that offense to 24, you miss a kick, you get great field position, you get some turnovers, and you can't make it happen.
Well,
but Phillip Rivers isn't the answer long term anymore. Yeah, I agree with that. But from a short term standpoint, you still have games left. And I don't know that benching him because he's not a mobile quarterback. They don't have Lamar Jackson on that roster. They're not going to go sign Kaepernick. They're not going to trade or coax Michael Vick out of retirement to all of a sudden be sexy and new and in vogue with a mobile quarterback. Their offense works. It worked last year for a playoff run again. They got enough pieces there. He just has to be better. And, yeah, you need to start shopping around because he's 37 and – he isn't the answer long term anymore. But short term, they can still put something together.
You said he throws the ball weird, and last night he threw the ball weird. That's because he was under pressure. He's thrown off his back foot.
I'm saying his motion.
Yeah, his motion is weird. I'm saying it's extra weird now because of the pressure he's under.
But he's always had that.
Yeah, but now, I mean, three of his four picks last night were, I'd say, directly because of pressure he was facing.
Yeah, his mechanics, he didn't step into it. He was off his back foot. And
it leads
Kansas
to picks.
Kansas City's incredible at bringing pressure.
They did the same thing to Denver this year. I know.
Can they stop the run? No. Kansas City still can't stop the run. But, I mean, you run 19 times for 93 yards. I don't know. You threw it 52 times. I know the NFL is a passing league. But, I mean, Rivers was for – he had damn near 275 at halftime. You have Williams and Eckler and Allen. They got ballers to throw it to. They had three fumbles, didn't lose any of them. Special teams weren't great. I don't know, man. Argue with me here. Do you agree with the talking heads this morning that are saying, it's time to get rid of Phil? Sorry.
It's time to start building on somebody new. It's not necessarily trying to bench him. Yeah. You've got time. There's other issues to that team than Phillip Rivers. Is Phillip Rivers the quarterback he used to be? No. Of course not. Is he still a good enough quarterback that can go win you games and possibly make the playoffs if he's on a good team? Yeah, I'd say so. It's not sending him to the bench just yet. And I can understand fans for wanting that, and I can understand even the coaching staff if they were to bench him, but I don't think it's time yet. I think he's still got good years left in him.
So let me ask you this. I mean, do you go, say, here we go, Tyrod Taylor? Is Tyrod Taylor going to give this team a spark?
No.
Is, and I love Easton Stick, Pride of Omaha, another North Dakota State guy. Is Easton Stick your guy? He's your third quarterback. Do you put him in? I mean, the takes this morning were, well, get yourself a mobile quarterback. The quarterback position has changed. How many just pure drop-back passers do you have in the NFL right now? You have Tom Brady. We'll play Tom Brady here in a moment. Sounds like someone shot his dog last night or two nights ago after the win. No, you just ride Phillip and see what they can do. All right, let's get some more folks qualified here for Zach Brown, the 29th of February. And we'll take caller 4 and 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Get in, caller 4, caller 5 qualifies for the Zach Brown tickets tonight. And we'll give away Zach Brown tickets all week, Tuesday through Friday. Caller 4 and 5, we will draw for the Zach Brown ticket winner in about 5 minutes. Caller 4, caller 5 right now at 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So pretty excited. Zach Brown coming to PBA in Lincoln the 29th. Of February. And caller 4 and 5 qualify now. And we'll do that giveaway here in about 5 minutes. And Zach Brown, man, incredible show. Last time I saw him, that was pretty big time. That was a few years back. So Zach Brown tickets, your chance to qualify. We'll give them away in 5 minutes here on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right. One final time on a Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. And Elijah Herbal, give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Herbal Essences. And we've got to give a shout out to Elijah for playing hurt today as he nearly lost his middle finger with the old lawn mowing accident. He's playing hurt. He stepped it up. He's been answering phones nonstop.
It's about the love of the game. It's about heart.
I guess. Keep on talking. Tomorrow, we are waiting a confirmation, but we hope to hear from Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity. Excited to chat with Brad Edwards from ESPN College Game Day. Dedrick Mills, our sit down with Dedrick Mills. Mr. Mills will chat with us about his breakout game against Wisconsin. What can the run game be Saturday against the Terrapins? As Iowa also waits to close down this 2019 season. Hopefully the season extends. Now, if Nebraska goes bowling, would you go as a Nebraska fan? We might spend some more time on that tomorrow. Even if it's Detroit for Christmas.
Depends.
Maybe go check
where.
Out where they shot Gran Torino. I don't know.
It depends where. It depends who the opponent is. I don't want to road trip 20 hours. I'm not going to fly anywhere, and I don't want to road trip. But if it's somewhere... Yeah, Chicago, you know, somewhere it's decently close.
Well, there's no bowl games in Chicago.
I know there's not. But you know what I'm saying. I want to keep it in like a one-day road trip.
If you go to the Meineke...
Somewhere in like Houston, something like that, I could maybe go down to that.
You know what would be great is if you went out, that'd be really cool, but you sneak your way into the Pinstripe Bowl.
Would be cool. That'd be really cool.
Now, if you're in Detroit, maybe you get Coach Solich in Ohio. Because you got a Big Ten MAC show down there. Nebraska fans would love that. They go check out Detroit for that. Frost and Solich are like, this sucks. We don't want to do it. We don't want to coach against one another. All right, let's crank up some Zach Brown here and do our first drawing of the week for a pair of Zach Brown tickets. They'll be back in Nebraska. They love coming to Omaha. They come back to Lincoln at PBA. Let's start this thing from the beginning. That'd be good.
Oh, My bad.
Yeah. So let's do the full Monty of bed music here. So you've there got several there qualifiers. Take your hat off. Put the names in a hat. Rattle them around. Who do you draw, Elijah?
Got it here. It's Kelly Prater.
Kelly Prater.
Yes.
Good work, Kelly. Kelly, you're going to go see Zach Brown the 29th of February, courtesy of Hail Varsity.
Kelly,
and ESPN.
I'll give you a call right after the show. Make sure that you know, in case you weren't listening. You wouldn't be hearing this if you weren't listening, but
Kelly's all in, and we'll do this again tomorrow through Friday, which is nice. Your chance to see Zach Brown, Pinnacle Bank Arena, tickets all week long here with Hail Varsity at ESPN. So keep listening. We'll play this quite a bit, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:00.